Greetings, lovely listeners. You are listening to Saga, a podcast where a dude and a chick discuss art and animation.
Thank you for tuning into Saga Podcast. I'm Garrison, and I'm here with Sarah. And today we're going to be talking about a movie, as we usually do, called Ni no Kuni. It's a not Studio Ghibli movie, but... But it's got, like, some of the same creative team that's, like, worked on.
Spoiler alert. This audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution. Or an open mind. I don't care.
And basically, Ni no Kuni is a story about high school kids, Haru, Kotona. And Haru and Yu were longtime friends, like, since 6 or 7. And their whole lives, like, changed. Their Kotona is like, stabbed by this this strange Hiruji. And they're transported to this fantasy world where they have to, like, this fantasy world called Ni no Kuni isn't somehow linked to the human world, to Earth. Yu and Haru are, like, trying to figure out how they can undo Kotona's fate, because there's an attack on her life in that world too, which affects her in the human world. She's afflicted with cancer in the human world because of in the other world. That's basically the story, just kind of basic good versus evil.
Right, yeah. I think there's, like, a bit of a love interest in there somewhere, too. Nobody really, like, kisses or says, like, oh my god, I love you. But there is, like relationships, I think, between Haru and Yu and Katana. They're kind of like a love triangle, you know?
kind of. It's like a cute triangle. Or something, because Haru and Kotona are in a relationship, but, like, wait, not you. Haru and Kotona are in the relationship, but you,
yeah,
like a third wheel sometimes.
Yeah, he's got wheels too.
He's got wheels. Yeah, he's in a wheelchair. A mysterious plane crash that happened a while back, like 10 years in the story. We kind of figure out that maybe because, like, he was meant to be. Like, I guess he was meant to die from that plane crash and be transported to the other world, because I guess Yu and Haru are kind of like parallels or something.
Hmm. So, hold on. Okay, maybe we can get into holes later about the film, but why don't you tell us your original thoughts, like, when you first saw this film?
Well, I thought the animation wasn't quite up to that Ghibli standard.
Interesting.
It was a bit rough, and I wasn't a fan of the characterization. It felt in some ways rushed, but also unsatisfyingly vague in, like, how the characters, they're like certain conclusions about the world, each other.
That's interesting. I like that you say that, because when I first watched this film, like, months ago when it first got on Netflix, I wasn't really that into it. Like, I started watching in it and I was like, okay, this is cool. But it follows, like, a very specific formula, I think a lot of other animations do. So it kind of took me out of it.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I sort of had to like, so I watched like 20 minutes of it and then I cut it off. And I, you know, watched the rest a second time or on a different day. And it took like a good 40 minutes for the plot to really get started. Like, during the mock sword fight is when it starts to pick up, which was like the 40 minutes.
Right. Yeah, and that's a long time for a move to get good.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so a lot of these artists and the director has, like, worked with Miyazaki on those kinds of films. But, okay, so we've done, like, a month of Miyazaki we know a bit about Miyazaki's like past and his thought process and stuff like that, and how he's a real like a stickler, and he's really set on his vision and uncompromised. It's interesting that maybe it was because of time constraints or budget that they didn't like learn from him in how. Because Miyazaki talks a lot about observation, real life, but the dialogue in this film felt kind of like stale, like you've heard it a million times.
Right.
They really didn't feel like people. That kind of what marked this movie.
Yeah, it felt very cookie cutter. I like just copy paste, you know, from all of the Ghibli films. Like just pick and choose which character you want to put in here and add a witch to the name or, you know, something, and then we're set and good to go.
Right. And something that I noticed was, okay, so Pendleton Ward, the creator of Adventure, said somewhere that like how a character like moves from one destination to the next, don't just have them like walk from point A to point B. Make the movements to point A to entertaining. And I think Miyazaki films do that, and characters just don't like walk from place to the next. It's an adventure. It's a journey, just to walk in 20 feet. Like it says something about character, the world, but for this movie, it was very practical, you could say.
Or filler. Could be filler too.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, filler was good because this movie was like, was it 2 hours or like an hour and a half?
I can look it up. Hour and 46 minutes.
I think this would have done better as like a short of some kind because, okay, so this movie was and is a video game franchise, and
a pretty good one too.
This movie kind of felt like the cutscenes between the gameplay, and I wonder if it would have been better as a game.
I'm about to find out. I just bought the game because I think the gameplay looks really cool. So once I get a download, I'm gonna start playing and see, you know, tell you how it is, see if it's any good, because it looks like fun and it's on the Switch, which makes it even more accessible.
So from what I understand, the games are kind of like an anthology, like they're not connected necessarily, and from what I've gathered from like some research, the old man from this movie, right, is the boy from the first game.
That's cool. Okay, so I have some serious Narnia vibes going on with this film. I don't know if it feels the same to you, but it feels like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. You know, time travels or time passes differently in these different worlds. And so, you know, you could go into Narnia 1 minute, be in there 30 years, and still come out like within seconds of you having gone when you left.
Yeah, it kind of felt like Narnia because they're going to a new world. They become knights to like save the kingdom. But it's like time doesn't move or something.
Right.
Kind of weird because because the two worlds are linked. So you would think, how does that? I don't know. It's weird.
Well, that's a good point too, and that brought me to when we were talking about Yu's inability to walk in the real world, you know, and this is going to bug me until we figure this out, so maybe that's why I want to bring it up now, but why didn't you use legs being crushed by an airplane not affect Haru if they're supposed to be the same person?
Well, because Yu was he didn't go to Ni No Kuni until, you know, they went during the minutes of the movie. So it's not like he was in the other world and they were linked that way. I don't know.
Well, that's what I thought, because I thought that he came from Ni No with his parents and then they got into a plane crash. They died, but he lived. So they must have come across to this, our world, and then crashed, because otherwise I guess my explanation for this is thinking that Kotona's double in the other world, when she got sick, Kotona got sick. So why didn't you and Haru, like, why didn't that happen?
Well, I think, like, you said something like, not you, but you.
You. Yeah.
You said something like, he said something like, we were, like he was talking to Haru, saying that we weren't meant to stay together forever, but even though we're far apart, we've never felt closer or something like that. Or maybe Haru said that. And I guess the insinuation was that they're like two sides of the same coin, and that one of them wasn't meant to stay in the world forever and was meant to go over to Ni No Kuni, because in Ni No Kuni, you end up getting married to that version of Kotona.
Mm.
Haru and Kotona in the human world were a
right
symmetry in some way.
Okay. I can vibe with that. Okay. I mean, did you have anything else you wanted to add that like kind of stuck out to you? I don't think we've talked about how Yu doesn't really freak out about the fact that he can now walk in this other world. Like, I'd be freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, and especially because we see just how young he was when he lost his legs. He probably has, like, he didn't even look old enough to be able to walk in the first place. So him being able to walk would have been, okay, so like him learning to walk for the first time in the new world could have been interesting, but maybe would have, I don't know, slowed down the pace of the movie because he would have to learn to walk.
Yeah, you might be right about that. It'd just be like, I don't know, it just didn't feel like they touched on that as much as they could have or should have. He adapted very well, I will say that.
And as for Haru being dismissive of the fantasy world and like saying that it was just like a but then when it came to like the cancer bombshell, he kind of bought into like the fantasy world, and like he was willing to basically kill the other version of Kotona, even though you stated, you know, several times that these worlds are linked, but he seemed to not even consider that. Do you think that that was like warranted, justified, or do you feel that that was kind of contrived just to like create some sort of
like a tension? I don't know, you'd think that Haru would be smarter considering, you know, he's the other half of you, I guess.
Not me, but
yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, he's you know, I don't understand the like dichotomy there. I think it's very human, probably, consider just being like, oh yeah, like let me kill this thing, you know. Seems like a gut reaction, I think, more so than like thinking things through.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. One last thing. So when that creature was chasing you and Haru and Yu's stepsister when they were driving in that car, and the car flew the river, and like you and Haru were like transported back to Ni No Kuni, the sister got out of the car, but she, you know, like she would like look for the two kids because she wouldn't see them. She wouldn't have seen them swim away, and her brother couldn't move his legs.
They died.
Yeah.
They died. Yeah, I think that's safe to assume that she probably was like, well, they're dead. I guess I should go on with my life.
Yeah, that was kind of like sloppy there, but overall, an okay movie, mm-hmm. I guess. Like I give it like a 6.
Okay. You know, that's like a 6. That's like a D rating. Okay. I mean, it reminds me a lot of like The Witch's Flower.
No. That one was like much better than
I think it's I will agree with you that The Witch's Flower is much better. But if The Witch's Flower had come out after this one, I would have been like, wow, this reminds me so much of The Witch's Flower. Even still, but it just like, it just feels like such a cookie cutter film to me. I don't know. I love it. It's good. It's, you know, not everything my heart desires, but it is still good. Yeah, it's like if you add like magic and witches and cool mystical realms to any animation or probably even live action, it pretty much that whole formula works out pretty well for anybody. Yeah, I mean, I love all the side characters in this film. That was a lot of cute, kooky little characters I'd probably want to know more about. But forget the main characters. The main characters are trash. Just follow the side characters. If I could just just follow the camera around with those little guys, I probably would.
Or just play the game.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm about to go do that.
So this film was animated by Ohm Inc., who did many of the Pokemon movies, and they also did Yo-Kai Watch as well. Even though I would say the animation quality wasn't up to the Pokemon movie level, but this film was directed by Yoshiyuki Momose, who was the key animator for Spirited Away, Porco Rosso, Grave of the Fireflies, and he had a bunch of other action credits. He also did VFX on Princess Mononoke, and he's had a hand in two.
Well, at least this film has that guy.
What's that?
I said at least this film has that guy. He's the only one that's keeping the table afloat, or keeping the boat afloat. He's bringing his game so that no one else has to.
Well, shouldn't everyone bring their game?
Yeah, but I'm talking about in this film. In this film, he is keeping it afloat.
Because he didn't challenge his staff like Miyazaki. Ooh. He's a pushover.
Ooh.
Ooh. Seriously though, the Ni No Kuni game, at least the first one, is one of the top PS3 game of all time, so I guess he has some creative talent, and to work on the movies that he has, he's a talented guy. Just not everything is a success, but
truth, very truth. The last note I have here is I think we've already discussed that it's based on a video game by the same name. I never knew this before, before we watched this film and did a little bit of research. I think that's super cool. That's not normally how it's done, but the fact that they, brought this to life or to the big screen, I think is just super cool. And I've never seen a video game that has 2D animated cutscenes, so that'll be interesting to see. The game that I'm about to play on the Switch looks a lot like Zelda Breath of the Wild gameplay, which is super awesome. Looks like fun. Also, apparently the mom dies in the beginning of this game, so that'll be fun to play with.
Yeah, it sounds like a good old time. Anyway.
Just watch Grave of the Fireflies next and just cry. Or, yeah.
Any last words?
I think I will rate this a C. It gets I'm going to say a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay. Like I said, I give it a 6. And I guess that's our review, our discussion of Ni No Kuni 2019. Come back next time as we talk about A Whisker Away, character psychology.
Thank you for listening to Saga Podcast, where we talk about animation and animation things. This is your favorite co-host, Sarah, and I would like to remind you before you head off that we do have a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram, a website, and soon to be a Patreon. So if you could reach out to us, leave us a comment, a review, anything that you like, and we will appreciate all of it. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.
Bye. See you next time. I hope you liked it. Come again.